But there are others for whom the facts are so trumped by the right-wing religious frame of reference they rely upon that they seem incapable of considering alternative views. Even harder would be real compromise or actual movement toward the proverbial political center. This group often includes religious personalities who have their careers, fame, finances, self-images, and ability to get attention and followers dependent upon their right-wing beliefs and practices. This group also includes everyday followers who have become desperately dependent upon right-wing religious beliefs, practices, institutions, and leaders to alter their mood, to give them good feelings in the middle of a world that doesn't seem to care about them and their fortunes. These everyday folk cling desperately to these mood-altering substances for hope in a world that can scare them. This book is about this latter group. It has the audacity to argue that for them, religion is functioning as an addiction, and that unless we understand that function and respond with it in mind, we'll be unable to affect the larger, movable middle in the long term. Religion for this influential group is like a mood-altering substance upon which they've become increasingly dependent. In the last 30 years, the addiction has encouraged them to seek stronger fixes. It has led them to become dependent upon the use of political activities and the elevated mood of political victories to alter their feelings about themselves. In 1991, Father Leo Booth wrote a groundbreaking book on religious addiction, When God Becomes a Drug, Breaking the Chains of Religious Abuse and Addiction. Addiction expert, author, and counselor John Bradshaw, who in 1985 had recorded a set of cassettes entitled Religious Addiction, wrote the book's foreword. Booth's and Bradshaw's works were courageous. They took on an American icon. They broke with that old advice to never get into discussions about religion and politics. Out of their own experiences and their work with addicts, they spoke about the connection of religion and addiction in the same breath. Over 15 years later, their observations are still valuable, and in the meantime, the addiction that uses religion has also become a dominant social and political force. We now must disregard that old advice again and speak plainly about both politics and religion. Addictive religion has not only moved successfully into the political arena, but into the center of attention in the U.S. in the same way that addicts usually become the center of attention in their families. From a marginal force in 20th century American society, addictive religion has set the nation's religious and political agenda. Those outside the addiction have awakened to their own marginalization by the activities of these addicts. They've most often moved into a reactive mode toward the addicted that hasn't always been helpful. Frankly, this movement of addictive religion could only have taken place because those of us outside religious addiction have enabled it to happen. Often, we've done the best we knew how to do, given our understanding of religion and our assumptions about how right-wing religion was functioning in people's lives. Through minimizing the potential power of the religious right-wing, denial, obsessive, positive, or negative emotional attachment to it, and even self-blaming, we often became like abused spouses, believing that there must be something we could do to control, change, or save the addicts. Our focus became changing them. That, we believed, would solve our problems. This book is written as a result of my experience that one of the most requested topics in my speaking and workshops in the last few years is how to deal with religious people when you've tried everything else and nothing is working. Frustration among people who must respond to right-wing religion continues to build. There's much anger, hurt, fretting, and hopelessness. People are getting tired, seeing it take a toll on their health, and realizing that their old responses are not only not changing much of the extreme religious right, but encouraging it. They are also realizing that the religious right wing's continual dominance of the discussion is hardly being affected by our current techniques. When religion is an addiction, first asks us to change our understanding of the radical religious right, to consider it in a new light, so that we can do something that will, first, ensure the health of those outside the addiction, and second, end our own activities that are part of the dynamics that further the religious right wing. Chapters 2 through 7 set out this new understanding and how it explains what we've been seeing happen around us. Yet my ultimate goal is not only to set forth a way to understand the problem, but also to point to solutions. Chapter 1 sets the tone for that at the beginning by calling us to stop arguing about religion in general. The recent spate of books that defend atheism, what Time magazine labeled an atheist literary wave,